live at AsylumFantasySports.com. Rick, it's the Inside Slant.
It is the Inside Slant. Welcome in. We're Fleeger and Briggs getting you ready for week number two.
Oh, finally, another great week one. Ready to dive right into week two here. Get those calls in. We're answering all your questions right up until 11:30. 646-478-4679. 646-478-4679. Get those questions in.
Yeah, that's right. AsylumFootball@gmail.com. AsylumFantasySports@gmail. And as Rick mentioned, Twitter @AsylumFootball. Get them in. We'll answer them all. We have a bunch had come in. We've answered a bunch. I've got a list for Scott Fish when he gets in. And there's a lot to cover.
Yeah, a lot going on. So @AsylumFootball on Twitter, at the email addresses, and 646-478-4679. If you want to call right in, we'll move you right to the top here. So, Rick, big week two, a lot of interesting matchups. A lot going on. Adrian Peterson inactive. I think we have to start there. Let the Asiata hype begin. You know, we heard a lot about this guy last year. Yeah, I'll be curious to see what that is. You know, I don't want to spend a lot of time on the Peterson situation. Listen to us on Wednesday. I have some opinions on that, but we'll save it for that. Both Bears wide receivers, questionable. You know, I have on good authority they may both be out, and they're already heading into a buzzsaw in San Francisco opening that new stadium. Looks like D'Angelo Williams is going to be out. Just a lot going on this week.
Yeah, there is, and you know, you mentioned Adrian Peterson not being active today, and you know that's a bad matchup in my mind. You got the hoodie. You know, he used to coach Matt Castle, who now is basically relied on to try to carry Minnesota. You know, they are at home at least, but against New England, coming off a bad loss, an angry Patriot team, Tom Brady. I'm not liking the prospects from Minnesota today.
Right, and I think it's going to be, from the Vikings side, I think look for a whole lot of Cordell Patterson. This is the kind of guy
right.
When they're going to be looking for a matchup. But you take Adrian Peterson out of a lineup, I think everybody around him suffers. And then, to your point, the matchup and what Belichick knows about Castle, if you think he's not going to exploit that and make Castle just look like a fool, you're crazy. That's what the man does.
Right. You know, and as far as Jeffrey and Marshall, you mentioned probably going to play. And as a matter of fact, in the chat room, they're on the field, you know, so they're probably doing some warming up and everything. But, you know, it, like you said, it's a buzzsaw. And, it really makes you take pause on these guys. You have to have them in if they're going to play. There's
right.
No question. But it drives you nuts.
If they're in your lineup, you have no choice. I mean, it's just as simple as that. But, you know, it's something you're going to want to watch, and we'll get into our starts, sits, and watches here shortly. I don't think the D'Angelo Williams news is anything big. Obviously, Ben Tate out. You know, I think we've had a lot of Terrence West questions, a lot of DeAndre Hopkins questions. There's just a lot right now, a lot of interesting matchups, a lot of good fantasy matchups.
But if you're one of these guys that may have maybe Adrian Peterson in your line or on your team, you know, a Ben Tate thought he was going to be a starting running back, but you also had a D'Angelo Williams, or you happen to have a Jonathan Stewart on your bench. You know, D'Angelo Williams rushed for 72 yards last
right.
week. You know, now you start thinking, do I get Stewart in the lineup as my flex or my RB2 because now Peterson's out or whatever, you know, depending on your lineup. It is a big deal when D'Angelo's not in there, even though they're very lukewarm, you get excited about with Carolina. You know, there's still some yards and points to be had there. They're at home against Detroit. You know,
Problem with Jonathan Stewart is he's going to get three carries and he's going to be hurt. So
He might be, and then Mike Tolbert scores three touchdowns.
Right, Mike Tolbert might be this real sneaky play this week.
But you know what I mean? And none of this stuff's insignificant anymore.
Right.
I mean, because the guys are, even in week two, there's a lot of stuff starting to pile up injury-wise.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see more and more of that. It's depth, stick with the Asylum. We'll get you up to date on what your best play is going to be there. 646-478-4679 if you want to call in. I say, Rick, that rather than hit the headlines, why don't we jump right into our starts, our sits, our watches, and then we'll sprinkle the questions as we go along there. At quarterback, I was combing around. It's tough this time of year to really identify. You know, you're still, I think, in that mode where you're playing your starters as you drafted them. Although I think we got some questions answered. My first start at quarterback, Rick, is going to be Jake Locker this week going up against the Cowboys. Loved what I saw from him last week against a pretty game Kansas City defense on the road. And that Dallas defense is just bad. Jake Locker has some weapons around him. He's shown some flashes. This is a guy I have picked up and inserted in some lineups over some guys like Phil Rivers, over a Tony Romo. I like Jake Locker this week.
You know, and it's interesting you come up with that. One of my starts is Tony Romo. Tony Romo coming off, he's only had multiple interception games, two in a row, twice in his entire career.
I have a hard time believing that. Is that true?
It's true. And, he still has a 2-to-1 TD to interception ratio. He's never been below 90.5 QBR in his entire career. I'm looking for Tony Romo to bounce back this week. Look, Tennessee had a nice win last week, and I'm interested. I'm like you. I'm interested to see what Jake Locker can do. I'm still not convinced they're a real juggernaut yet. And I think this Dallas offense can still get on track with them. I think Tony Romo is still a good start.
All right. So, and it's hard to go wrong. He's going to do what he did to people last week a lot. It's what he does. And then other times he's going to go out there and in a losing effort and with two or three interceptions, he's going to throw for 400 yards and a couple of touchdowns. So, yeah, I don't think ever a bad play to start Tony Romo. Let's jump to the
Jump to the chat room.
Oh, I like
and
the
we've
chat
got
room.
We've got some questions here. We don't want to fall behind here. We have standard scoring, and we need a flex, and we need one from Reggie Wayne, Michael Crabtree, Ryan Matthews, Trent Richardson, Ahmad Bradshaw.
So Wayne, Crabtree, Matthews. I'll tell you what, I'm going to stick. Well, it's standard. I wanted to stick with the wide receivers. Ahmad Bradshaw is interesting to me, and I don't mind that matchup against Philadelphia. I think it's Crabtree for me. I think the 49ers have a huge game. I think Kaepernick has a really nice game. He'd be my number two start. I thought maybe he was too obvious to put in as my starter at the quarterback position. That's still, obviously, after last week, a pretty bad Bears defense, and I think you can see Crabtree go off a little bit this week.
Yeah, Crabtree is up there for me. I do like Reggie Wayne. I like the Colts bouncing back. And but I tell you what, Bradshaw to me is becoming more and more interesting. Like I said before, even before the season started, if his feet are healthy, Trent Richardson is going to be out of a job.
Right.
And he just last week, you could tell who appeared to be the more competent running back.
Oh, there's no
question.
And
that was Ahmad Bradshaw.
My only concern with Bradshaw at this point of the year, how much work are they going to keep trying to give Richardson?
Well, that's the point. That was the point that I was alluding to. If it was week 6 or 8, I don't think there'd even be a question. But right now, I still think there's a split. So I'm going Reggie Wayne, then Michael Crabtree.
Okay.
And very, very, very close.
I'm going Crabtree, Wayne. Could be a shootout against, and I want to give the chat room a consensus. So while I like Crabtree, I think Wayne probably gets more opportunities. So I'll bend. I'll say let's give him a consensus, and I'll go Reggie Wayne there. I think those guys are so close. Maybe Wayne and what could be a shootout. This 49ers game could be over at halftime, especially
right.
with Marshall and Jeffrey banged up.
Right. Okay, we have another non-PPR standard scoring for a flex. Alshon Jeffrey, Mark Ingram.
Oh, that's so tough with Jeffrey being banged up.
Well, that's
if
the
Jeffrey
thing.
Wasn't banged up. I think it's Ingram, Rick. I really do. I don't know how banged up Jeffrey is. They're going to have to throw the ball around, but that's a good San Francisco defense. I think Jay Cutler's going to be running for his life. New Orleans in Cleveland, they're going to be able to run the ball a little bit. There's going to be red zone opportunities. I'm leaning Ingram, but I'll hear you out first before I render my final decision.
My biggest problem with Ingram is his it's just such a running back by committee with Sean Payton. He didn't get that many touches last week. He had the two touchdowns. I understand that, but you don't have that every week. You take those two touchdowns away, he's a 7.5 point guy.
Right.
And I think that's in a PPR format.
Right.
So I think the potential with Alshon Jeffrey, and I think you monitor this, and I know it's kind of a cop-out, but Alshon Jeffrey is so much higher ceiling to me than what Ingram is, because Pierre Thomas is still the PPR machine.
Right.
He's going to be getting the catches that Ingram's going to get some running, yards. I understand that, and I like him in the red zone. I'm just not sure with Drew Brees you're going to get that many rushing touchdowns again.
And it's a good point. If you're counting just on the touchdowns, I don't like it as much. In a PPR format, I factor that in more. But I think as long as Jeffrey's healthy, you drafted this guy in the middle of the second round. And I think they're going to have to throw the ball. And it's 51-49 for me. But you convinced me with the point of having to have Ingram get into the end zone. And they may not score inside of 20 yards. You might have Cooks and everybody running wild and Jimmy Graham. And Jimmy Graham wasn't a big part of the offense last week, so maybe this is the week where he turns it back around as Jimmy Graham. So I'm going to go Alshon Jeffrey with you.
And, the thing is, you have to monitor this because Jeffrey is more concerning. And I know this is all – I'm actually getting wishy-washy on it. But, Brandon Marshall, to me, is a safer play. He's got the twisted ankle. I mean, he can be taped up. I think he has much – better chance of performing better. Jeffrey's dealing with that hammy.
Right.
And,
he could go out, tweak it on the first play, and it could
exactly.
be over. Exactly.
I know, exactly. And maybe, I think you're talking me into Ingram being a safer play. I really am, and I hate doing that. The ceiling is so much better with Alshon Jeffrey, but he worries me to death with this with his hamstring.
So I guess how we have to look at it, if I'm setting my lineup right now, Rick, and I'm in a standard league, for all the reasons to start Mark Ingram, I think I'm still plugging in Alshon Jeffrey. Now, keep watching all the morning shows. We'll monitor his situation if any news comes out on how Jeffrey's feeling this morning. But if he's on the field, he's warming up. I think I'm going to plug Jeffrey in. For all the reasons I like Ingram in this spot, I think we both know either one of us would plug Alshon Jeffrey in this morning.
Yeah, but it's just it's an 8:30 game, which is a real conundrum for fantasy owners. I would think that a backup Bear receiver is on the waiver wire out there. You may want to consider doing that. Stick Jeffrey in your lineup.
Right.
If he's not going to play, get that backup in there.
Yeah, maybe even comb the 49ers roster. Maybe there's a couple guys out there. All right, Rick, we've got our first call on the line, area code 860. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. This is Dean from Connecticut.
Oh, Dean, how's it going today, buddy?
Good, man. I can't click submit on my lineup until I talk to you guys.
That's for good reason.
A wise move.
Hey, just in relation to my question, did you hear that Carson Palmer's like 50-50, hasn't thrown a pass since Monday? He's got some nerve issue in his shoulder?
Yes, and that is bad news for Larry Fitzgerald and Michael Floyd owners.
Okay, how is that for Andre Ellington, you think? Is that good news? Would he get more work?
I think if he's healthy... Yeah, I'm not sure how much different the workload will be. You always worry about it if we get to a backup quarterback situation, you see in the box stack, you see an eight in the box. But he's able to – I think they're going to have to, whoever's at quarterback, get Ellington the ball in space. He looked healthy last week. I was impressed. I wouldn't worry about him as much as I'd worry about the receivers.
Okay, dudes, on a PPR league, who would you put in your flex, Ellington, Calvin Benjamin, or Kendall Wright?
I tell you what, with me, Dean, with a matchup against that Dallas defense, I love Kendall Wright. And, I mean, he was impressive last week. He's the go-to guy for Jake Locker, I believe. I think they're just going to have a great chemistry this year, and especially in PPR. I mean, I think you're going to get at least 6-7 catches out of him. And probably anywhere between 75 and, I don't know, maybe 110 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, I'm going to make that unanimous. Just going up against that Dallas defense, I love what I've seen out of Locker. Now you do have those few questions with Arizona, so Ellington's out. Love Benjamin. I'm holding off on him a little bit this week to see what the rapport is like with Cam Newton. It looked good last week. See what that rapport is. Strange thing, this is the third Benjamin Wright question we've had in the last 2 days. It just must have been the way the draft boards fell. I think long term, I like Benjamin better, but for this week against Dallas, it's Kendall Wright.
Yeah, I mean, I really love this. I'm not even going to go into the Kelvin Benjamin thing, but yeah, I like Kendall Wright too, and I just like the matchup against Dallas.
Okay, man, that's who I'm going to throw in there then.
All right.
Thank you.
You betcha, buddy.
All right,
good luck
this week. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, good luck, man.
You too. All right, we got Brandon Cooks or Justin Hunter?
I think it's got to be Cooks. You know, for all the reasons we love that matchup against the Dallas defense. Hunter's still a question mark for me, and I always get nervous about those training camp darlings. You saw what Cooks did last week, and there's always questions with those Saints receivers, whatever the matchup is. And in a shootout, we saw Colston play well. We saw Cooks play well. We saw the running backs play well. But I think Cooks, I'm going to roll with him this week. I think there's less question marks with him.
Yeah, and I think the potential's always there with that offense.
And I think Colston's going to draw Hayden, which probably makes things even better for Cooks.
Yeah, and I agree. I think Cooks is the play there. Just in the chat room here, this is really appreciated. Big Tex, a source informed Adam Schefter that both Elshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall are 75% certain to miss Sunday night football against 49ers.
Wow, see, that's what I saw this morning, and then when we went on the air, you'd heard that they were out there. So I guess that swings us back to the Mark Ingram question.
I didn't get
back
to it. It was wrong. I misread it.
Okay, so let's get back to the Mark Ingram question. It's got to be Mark Ingram. I'm not taking a 25% chance on Alshon Jeffrey. And even if he does play, if you're that big of a question mark all day, boy, what a mess for the Bears offense to lose both those guys on the same day.
Oh, yeah.
Good Lord, that's a disaster.
That is just horrible, and, you know, it's terrible. And I tell you what, I'm going to my sits right now, and I just happen to have, Mr. Jay Cutler as a sit because there's a lot of people with all the weapons. You know, Jay Cutler really moved up on the list. I don't want Cutler at all today against San Francisco without Marshall, without Jeffrey. Forte, I think they're going to be focusing on him. So I think it's going to be a long day for Chicago.
Exactly. I think he was a sit with those guys in there. I think maybe individually they could get theirs, but Jay Cutler could be in for a tough day. You factor that in, one or both of them out, or one or both of them, or at least both of them hobbled up and slowed down. I think that's an easy one. Rick, my sit at quarterback, we'll go ahead and jump to that. I'm going to sit Cam Newton this week. It's his first week back. I still worry about those ribs. I don't know how much it affects the throw. I like the matchup against the Lions, but when you're playing the Lions with that defensive line, he's going to take some hits, and I think he's going to be reticent to be out running around and doing what Cam Newton does. So for this week, until I see that he's healthy and he's comfortable taking hits, I've got Cam Newton on a couple rosters as he fell into the eighth, ninth round of so many drafts, and I ended up taking Cam Newton, who's a guy I've never been real big on, but at that level. For this week, I still have him sitting down. I got Jake Locker playing for him in a lot of circumstances. Just this week, till I see he's healthy, and I know he's going to take some hits and dealing with those ribs, Cam Newton's going to sit for me this week.
I don't think they'd be playing him if they didn't have confidence in him. And to your point, I will make this point. I think Ron Rivera has a luxury of being cautious with him. After watching Derek Anderson last week, you know, Derek Anderson has taken a lot of heat over the years after the big years he had with Cleveland and just, you know, bombed abysmally since then, basically. But last week he looked good. I mean, the team, he had command of that offense, and, I mean, that defense can take control of the game, where I think he can manage the offense quite well.
Right.
So if something does happen to Cam Newton, I think Ron Rivera is comfortable to take him out to save him for the year.
Right.
To that point, that being said, I still start him this week.
You're going to start him.
I think they're comfortable. I don't think they'd be playing him if they weren't comfortable with him being at least 90%.
Oh, I have no.
So when they're playing an offense like Detroit, I think the potential with him is there to put up a lot of points. So I think he's a start.
And I have no doubt that he's healthy and there's minimal to no risk of long-term injury. What my concern becomes it's easy to be healthy coming off a rib issue until Ndamukong Suh blindsides you, and then all of a sudden you're right back where you started. He'll be wearing that flak jacket. That's always uncomfortable for those guys. Now, I'm not starting Eli Manning over Cam Newton. I mean, it's going to be – and I had that situation in the league last week. There is one I'm still going to have to start Cam Newton in. But if I can get my hands on a Locker, somebody at that level, maybe a Tannehill, maybe a let's use those two. I'm going to go ahead. Me personally, I'm going to wait on Cam Newton one more week.
Okay. All right, let's hit the chat room here. One almost got away. Toby Gerhart or Andre Ellington in standard?
Oh, boy. Gerhart or Ellington. I think it's Ellington. This Carson Palmer question makes me a little bit nervous. Gerhart, we talk about the volume play, but he already got banged up a little bit last week. Not a bad matchup there for the Jags going up against the Redskins. I think you can run on them a little bit, but I'm going to feel more confident in Andre Ellington.
See, with the problems with Palmer and the lack of versatility, with him not in there, if he's not going to be playing and opening up the passing game, I like Gerhart against that Redskins.
Well, we can't agree on anything.
I know, which
morning.
Is great.
Yeah, great for the listeners. Yeah. They're trying to get their lives.
No, I do. I think Gerhart has established himself just through the preseason. I think he has been anointed the workhorse of that Jacksonville offense. You know, they gave up their 34 unanswered points to Philadelphia last week. And they're still a little suspect, but they are a better team than they were last year. That defense is a lot more physical, and I think they're going to be able to establish the run, and Washington isn't that good. And I just like the volume work that Gerhart's going to get.
My problem is with that volume, can he handle it? Can he handle it physically? He missed some snaps last week. He was banged up already early in that game. That's my concern with him. You know, if Palmer's in and he ends up playing, then I think it's Ellington hands down. If Palmer's out, then we can have the discussion. So that'll be me being wishy-washy. I'm going to dig in on Ellington, assuming that Carson Palmer plays. If he goes out, you could sway me to Gerhart.
Yeah, so I mean, really, with that just lovely, decisive answer, you can take whatever Rick said and maybe agree with it or take what I said and agree with it and then make a choice there.
Well, quite simply, if you like to win, follow my advice.
Follow Rick.
Right, Flieger.
No, Briggs.
If you like to win, you can listen to me. If you like to have a little fun and, you like old people, you're into that, and then you go with Rick. But if you want to win, I go with what I had to say.
And I'll tell you what, we will, that's going to be another one. Maybe Scott Fish can help us out later
on. All right,
we'll
get
to break
a tiebreaker. Set that one aside. We'll get the
tiebreaker. I have to dig in on Gerhart on that one. Yeah, because you talk about being banged up. Ellington was banged up. I mean, they're running backs, and you take that risk no matter what game, what running back. So.
Well, yeah, you always have that, but Gerhart seems to be his favorite thing to do.
And we can spend a little time on this if you want. I play a little probably closer to the vest than you do, maybe a little safer. I go more for the safer play. You go maybe a little bit on the other side, the more higher risk reward.
I play upside.
I think Gerhart, to me, is a safer play. To your point, I think Ellington probably does have a little bigger upside.
Right.
If the game goes. But I just don't like that matchup against San Francisco either, opening the new stadium. I just think the karma's bad. Oh, no, that's Chicago.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Chicago.
Yes. That's good.
You're on a different planet. I mean, if they were in San Francisco, that might be completely different. But the Cardinals are going up against the Giants.
Exactly.
I guess that's something you factor in, that tough track.
But the Giants are the Giants,
bad.
Man. It's
bad. I mean, more offensively.
And I'm glad you mentioned that because in my head, I was thinking they were in San Francisco for some reason, and I'm glad you told me that. Yeah, the Giants is a different story. Still going to stay with Gerhart. I just Washington doesn't impress me either.
And I think you're right. With Gerhart, if he stays on the field, he's going to get 25 to 30 touches. There's just no question about that. It's what he does with them that's my concern. And I think it'll be Carson Palmer watch this morning. It'll be a very important part.
Yeah, no question.
Anything
about
else
that.
In the chat room there? Can I give you my running back sit?
Well, I'll go ahead and give it to me.
All right.
And then I'll laugh.
I have to assume, Rick, the Packers are mad. They are ticked off after just getting embarrassed. They've had 10 days to think about it, having that early Thursday game. Not in love with their defense. Liked what I saw, you know, in getting some goal line work in the carry, the amount of carries he got, plus the role he played in the passing game. I think Chris Johnson struggles this week against what's going to be an angry Packers defense, an angry Packers team going into Lambeau on opening day. Chris Johnson's a guy I'm trying to find. Yeah, I think I've seen a lot of people starting him as their RB2. I don't think he's an RB2 this week. Maybe still a flex play, but I'm sitting Chris Johnson if I have a Toby Gerhardt, some of these guys. I'm worried about Chris Johnson this week.
Well, I have to admit that he was my number one running back sit as well. And just to expand on that, I mean, yeah, he did have a big day in week one, but, you know, Green Bay, number one, like you said, they're coming off that drubbing at Seattle. They've had, what, 10 days to prepare for this game. And, yeah, they're probably not real happy. New York's going to have to be creative, I think. And CJ's really not in the mix to be creative, I don't think, try to keep up with Green Bay.
No.
I agree with you.
I think
100%.
Geno Smith takes a beating. I think you see a lot of turnovers there. So for this week.
Yeah, so I'm going to throw in a running back sit as well, or just a sit, and it happens to be a running back. MJD, probably not real high on people's list, but, you know, people plug him in as sometimes as a desperate RB2 in deep leagues or a flex spot. And just going against that Houston defense. That Houston defense, I think, is back.
Right.
And I know they lost Clowney, but you know what? J.J. Watt's a man on that defense. I don't know. You can talk about Clowney all you want. He's a supplement to J.J. Watt. And that defense is bad news. And
yeah.
I do not want any part of Oakland running game.
Yeah, Mr. Carr's in for a very long day, number one. And I think the running game suffers right along with it. Hey, and as we come up on the bottom of the hour, I want everybody to know, if you hear a phone ringing and a bunch of clanging and banging around, just so you know what's going to happen, I'm actually doing a spot at 10:35 with our buddy Dan Claskins on Fox Sports 1360 in Cincinnati. So when they call in, I'm going to hop out of the captain's seat here. Rick's going to hop in, keep the show going. It's just going to be a 5 or 7 minute spot. But just so you know, Fox Sports 1360, I'm going to be on there. So I'm going to step out of the studio here and take that call, and then I'll be back. So if things go haywire, you know, Rick's at the controls.
Yeah, and you'll understand why things are going haywire. But other than that,
just don't push
things
any,
will be fine.
Just don't push any buttons if you can avoid it, preferably.
Yeah.
So how about I'm going to go give a wide receiver sit if you don't have any question there, Rick. I think this is an easy one, but he's a guy you drafted to start. Larry Fitzgerald. Now you throw in this Carson Palmer issue, number one, but you factor in he didn't get a look. He didn't have an attempt in the first half last week. I don't know if there was a matchup issue there. I don't know what it was, but this is the third year in a row we've seen Fitzgerald.
Basically, the only explanation come out was Carson Palmer stated he was avoiding the double coverage on Fitzgerald and had other options.
Perhaps that's true, but how long does the double coverage stay on Fitzgerald? If Carson Palmer's out, forget about it. And Floyd, for that matter, too. I don't want a whole lot to do with that Cardinals receiving core. But for this week, not an awful matchup. I don't like them traveling across the country. They, like the Raiders, have always struggled with that. All these West Coast teams do, especially a 1 o'clock game on the East Coast. But Fitzgerald, until I see a little more, and I know Carson Palmer's healthy, he's a guy, he's on all my benches. I'm avoiding him like the plague.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I've got a lot of leagues with Larry Fitzgerald in there, and I got to keep him in there, unfortunately.
Well, if he's your best option.
Right. There's no question. I mean, he's a lot of legs. I mean, I was high on Palmer, you know, the second year in this offense and the emergence of Floyd and Ellington. So, I don't know. I agree with you. It gives you a lot of butterflies if Palmer's not in there, I can tell you that.
I mean, to not be targeted when your name is Larry Fitzgerald, not be targeted in the entire first half, that's surprising to me.
I'm going to go for a wide receiver start. Excuse me. You know, Buffalo beat Chicago last week, but they gave up 427 yards. And with the day that No'Shawn Moreno had with Miami, you know, against New England, 134 yards, I think Buffalo defense is going to, number one, try to shut that down a little bit. And I think Brian Hartline, just a good meat and potatoes guy, pretty quiet last week against New England. I think Brian Hartline, because a lot of people are kind of cool on him, he's a 1,000-yard receiver, two, 3 years in a row now. I think he's a good start against Buffalo.
Yeah, I love the matchup. I actually had Ryan Tannehill as my watch at the quarterback position. I think, to your point, I actually think, and when we get into picking the games here, I think Buffalo wins this game. Just all the circumstances are right. They get bought by, I'm blanking on the guy's name that owns the Sabres.
Right.
We know Buffalo is going to stay there. Going to be some good vibes in Buffalo. I think Buffalo finds a way to win this game, and we're going to look up, and Buffalo is going to be 2-0. But at the same time, Miami's going to move the ball, and I think Ryan Tannehill and thus Brian Hartline. And this is more of a Brian Hartline kind of game. I don't know if you see Mike Wallace – yeah, getting deep, and you're going to see a ton of big plays. This is the kind of game, I think it's going to be close, and they're going to be moving the ball up and down, matriculating the ball up and down the field. I always like that. And that fits right into Brian Hartline's style, and I think he can nickel and dime them to, seven catches, 80, 90 yards if he finds the end zone. That's going to be a big fantasy week in a PPR format.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, a little comment in the chat room. There's really no information about the games on the ESPN countdown, spending a lot of time on Ray Rice and AP.
We'll talk
about that next week.
Yeah.
People are trying to get their lineups in and want to know what's going on.
I got some strong opinions on the Peterson thing and the Josh Gordon, Wes Welker thing. I actually think I'm going to be talking about that with Dan here in a couple of minutes. But, I don't want to spend that time here. I want to get these questions answered.
Exactly. Now, I'm going to go – well, you're going to be going here pretty soon, but I'm going to go with a watch. And last week, excuse me again, was to me a real defining week for this guy. Tony Gonzalez was the number two scoring tight end last year, playing for Atlanta on that horrible team. He's gone. And it really has come back this year. Harry Douglas is just a nice, reliable guy. Keep your eye on Harry Douglas, because with Julio Jones and Roddy White, they're the marquee guys, but it ain't the tight end anymore.
Right.
It's Harry Douglas in that slot position, is the third wide receiver. And I tell you what, he's probably going to have a pretty nice day this week. And, I think he's a very good watch. Now, Rick has just taken the call, so if you pardon me for like about 10 seconds – he just abandoned me. I have to get to the captain's chair. Hang on 1 second. Okay, so I hope that was seamless enough. And now I have to get used to his computer. So if I'm kind of silent here, it's because I don't know what's going on with his computer. But anyway, I'm going to get in the chat room and monitor it because he does not have it up on his. So that'll be okay. But anyway, keep the questions coming. And obviously, call in if you're listening live. So, okay. There we go. Mom, more meatloaf in the chat room. Well, thanks, Tex. I could go for some meatloaf right about now. But we do have another question here that I wanted to discuss. This is the conundrum a lot of guys are getting into. And here it is. This is like a PPR question. And not being PPR, it would be a little tougher. But he's struggling with Steven Jackson, Fred Jackson, and Joik Bell. With Reggie Bush, a little tender right now. I think Joik Bell is just a hands-down favorite on that one, especially in a PPR. Fred Jackson's interesting. Steven Jackson, I am just about done with. I don't know about you, but he just has not shown any explosiveness. And he was nursing that hamstring all through the preseason. And Atlanta, they don't really need to run all that much. They have so many weapons through the air. Matty Ice throws for what? What was it? 448 yards last year. So, or last week. And running is a supplement. Jaquizz Rodgers actually looked okay. And, of course, you got Domonte Freeman. So, Steven Jackson basically almost dead to me now. There's just not much to it. 646-478-4679. Give us a call, and we'll answer your question. That's one thing that I have to call him out. Old Jersey in the house, he called in a couple weeks ago. haven't heard from on the slant today, and we're just, you know, really disappointed with old Jersey here. Must have found somebody else. We're actually jealous. Yeah, little comment in the chat room. Hates Steven Jackson. I do, too. You just cannot get to like this guy anymore. I mean, great back, don't get me wrong. And when they ended their relationship with Michael Turner and brought in Jackson, I was pretty excited to start with because I'm thinking, okay, Steven Jackson, you know, we watched him over the years. This is an upgrade to Turner. And just never panned out. He didn't look good last year. Of course, everything, all the wheels came off Atlanta at one time. Julio Jones was hurt. Roddy White banged up. Gonzalez had a career year. Matt Ryan didn't have too bad of a year considering they were, what, 2-14. But Steven Jackson never established himself as any sort of force, let alone upgrade to Michael Turner. And this year just solidifying that, and I think this is his last year. And as far as fantasy goes, he's on my bench until it is just a necessary evil that I have to stick him in there. And there's just no question about that. Okay, we will move on here. I have another question here, if I can just find it. No, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to hit another one of my starts. And I think there's a lot of questions last week with the Philadelphia offense, DeSean Jackson gone, Jeremy Maclin coming back from that torn-up knee. A lot of question marks with him. He was good last week, not great. And, I mean, you say, well, you know, he had 97 yards and a touchdown. What's wrong with that? Well, you know, he had 4 catches on 10 targets. That's not that great. And you can't all blame it on Maclin, of course. But I think it established him. He was running hard. He was cutting good. And let's face it, that first half, they were just beat up by Jacksonville. I think they were a little bit shell-shocked at just how good and physical that Jacksonville defense was. They figured it out a little bit in the second half, obviously. And it's a good thing that Philadelphia defense, you know, tightened up a little bit, too, or it could have been a real shootout. But Jacksonville really put the clamps on him in the first half. But anyway, 4 catches, 97 yards, and a touchdown. I think that Jeremy Maclin now has shown he's Nick Foles' number one guy. And they're going against the Colts. You know, they were torched by Denver. Mathis is gone. I think Jeremy Maclin is a great start today. So if you have any questions about Jeremy Maclin, don't have them. I think he's safe. I think the knee's okay. He's running good. He's running hard. And put him in there. So we're going to go with a 1-point PPR. And here we go. The Asiata, McKinnon or Chris Ivory or Doug Martin. And, yeah, the backups always seem to be, to me, overrated. Because you see maybe a Ben Tate back when he backed up Foster or somebody like that that comes in and has a great game and they say, oh, this guy, he's better, whatever the case may be. But coming in to fill AP's shoes against New England isn't what I'd want to bank on my fantasy team. And, yeah, there's actually an answer in the chat room, Ivory or Martin. And I'm going to have to tend to agree with it. I'm going to have to stick with Doug Martin. He's gone high. If you've got Martin on your team, I have to assume, and we know what assume means. But anyway, I would have to assume you drafted him as your RB1. If you draft him as your RB1, I would have to stick with him. You play your studs until you can't even survive anymore. But, you know, Doug Martin is still the safer play. You know, we talked about Chris Johnson being a sit this week. You know, Ivory to me doesn't sound like any more. So, you know, I got to go with Martin. Okay, Green Bay is going to be upset. Yeah, there's no question about that. Now, okay, you know, Martin, you know, we could depend on the leagues. But Martin is still Gio is your number one. Martin was probably your number two. If he wasn't, I want to be in that league. But, drafted fairly high. I think you go with him. I don't want to risk McKinnon over him, you know, on something like that. So I think Doug Martin is the way to go. Okay, let's go on to a sit. I'm going to hit it with a sit, and I think this is a pretty obvious one here. He's actually a favorite to be sat last week. And, Ryan Matthews, he's just heading into another buzzsaw, you know, with Seattle. Fortunately, they are in San Diego, which to me makes this game a little closer. But I tell you what, I don't like that Seattle defense. Well, let me rephrase. I love that Seattle defense, but I don't want to be playing any of my guys against them. I think they're better than they were last year. You know, bear in mind, last year they were run against a few times. You know, a few hundred-yard games against them. I just don't think that – and I'm looking for more of a bounce-back game from San Diego. You know, look, Rivers wasn't very good last week and so forth. But I just don't think that Ryan Matthews is going to have a very good day against Seattle. I think Phillip Rivers is going to have to be the difference in this game if San Diego has any hopes to win. And it's not going to be Matthews. I think it has to be Phillip Rivers making the big throws down the field to try to eat up some yards. This could open up things for Matthews, but I don't look for a big day from him at all. So that is going to be my sit as far as that goes. And here comes old Fligger back. Now he wants his chair back.
That's right. So, I need that captain's seat back.
So, okay, give us 5 seconds and we'll switch spots.
All right. We need music for this, I think.
Yeah.
All right, a little ragtag here this morning, but that's all right. Thank you to Dan Claskins, Fox Sports 1360 down there in Cincinnati. Did a great segment. Check out their website if you want to hear that. Had some fun there. Gave some sleeper wide receivers.
Claskins is still laughing at him, but we're making a fool of me.
I took a shot at my radio partner here, which is something I always enjoy doing. So
I wish I could have heard it.
Had a good
time. But I was here carrying our show while you were making fun of me.
That's right, carrying the load. 646-478-4679. Get those questions in. I don't know. Where are you at, Rick? What are we talking about?
Well, we were talking. We answered a few questions, and I just gave a sit. And it was Ryan Matthews was a sit. I just didn't like him against that Seattle defense.
What do you think of Danny Woodhead in that scenario? Or do you have a question there?
I don't know. I'm trying to reestablish.
Okay.
Because I got in a chat room on your computer. Kicks me out on mine, so now I got to get back in.
So you need me to X out of the chat room?
Yeah, you probably do.
Let me do that.
In PPR, obviously, Danny Woodhead is a much more attractive play. But, you know, As I was saying on the previous segment when you were on with Dan, I think Phillip Rivers is going to have to be the difference in this game. I don't think it's going to be Matthews. I think Phillip Rivers is going to have to start making these throws. And, you know, I think Woodhead's going to be in that. You know, Matthews, I don't know. I just don't like the matchup for him today.
No, right. And that's where you think the matchup in general with the Chargers is going to be bad going up against Seattle, and I agree. They're going to have to move the ball a little bit. You know, they're a professional football team. As much as they got smashed last week, the Packers moved the ball and put up some fantasy performances in this matchup with that tough defensive line, with that tough secondary. I think if somebody in San Diego is going to have a fantasy-relevant day, it's going to be Danny Woodhead, because they're going to have to use a weapon like that, a toy like that,
right,
in order to move the ball. You're going to have to see some misdirection. You're going to have to see some underneath
and
stuff.
And fortunately, they are in San Diego,
Seattle. If they were in Seattle, maybe it's not even worth showing up at this point for most of the teams in the league. So I think, you know, Danny Woodhead might be a sneaky play as you're sitting Ryan Matthews, as you have Adrian Peterson going out, as you have Ben Tate going out. People are looking, as you look at the bad matchup I think Chris Johnson has, I think there's some opportunities to get Danny Woodhead in some lineups, and while the matchup is bad, I look for Woodhead to have a fantasy-relevant day in a PPR format. They're going to have to find ways to move the ball, and when you're trying to find a sneaky way to move the ball, Danny Woodhead's the direction I want to go there.
Okay, we got another question here. It's an interesting one. Cam Newton or Nick Foles? And, you know, according to Pro Football Talk, Cam Newton has no limitations going into today. So they are at home against Detroit coming in. And, you know, Nick Foles for Atlanta, or for Philadelphia, kind of had a quiet day. It's a Monday night game, and they're at Indianapolis.
You know how I, when we don't agree, but you know how I feel about Cam Newton going into this week. So this one's pretty easy for me, Nick Foles. I think under the best of circumstances, these two are pretty close, and I might still lean Nick Foles there. You know, obviously terrible first half. I'm worried about the way he's been turning the ball over, which is something he didn't do at all last year, period, and that's what set him apart. And now you see, you know, a couple interceptions early last week. But come back, again, you want to talk about volume play, but on about seven plays a minute right now. I think it's Nick Foles for me, and I feel pretty comfortable in that one.
I would have to go Foles. And it's not so much that I'm worried about Cam Newton, but I think Foles against that Indianapolis defense, I think they got on track in the second half against Jacksonville. And while you were gone, I actually hit a wide receiver start, and Jeremy Maclin was one of them.
Liked what I saw from him.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think I'm going Foles myself. I do like and this is a time, if you have a Nick Foles, I think it's well worth maybe the wait, like you said, to make sure Cam Newton's okay. Because
that's a nice
luxury. Because when
right
it's
there.
All said and done, and Cam Newton's 100%, I want Cam Newton in there because he's got the legs.
Right, and I think later on, but to your point, you just said it, and my point with Cam Newton in general, you have the luxury right now having Nick Foles. You have the luxury to take that wait and see on Cam Newton. All right, Rick, we got a call on the line here.
All right.
Area code, if I can get the button up here. Area code 240. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Dwight from D.C. How are you?
Hey, we're good. Dwight, how's it going?
I'm doing pretty good, pretty good. Now, I'm looking at my bar napkin where I did some very extensive calculations while I was drunk last night.
Hey, there you
and
go.
And I have four wide receivers. Michael Floyd at the Giants, Mike Wallace at Buffalo, Jeremy Maclin at Indy, and Reggie Wayne at home against Philly. I have to start three of the four. Would you mind giving me your rankings?
Okay, I will take this. If I'm giving my rankings, I will go Maclin 1, Wayne 2, with Palmer not throwing since Monday. I'm going to have to give Mike Wallace a nod at 3 and put Floyd at 4, which really pains me because I'm pretty high on Floyd. But I tell you what, if Carson Palmer's shoulder is not allowing him to throw, boy, there's some big concerns right there.
Yeah, any other week, it goes Floyd, Maclin, Wayne, Wallace for me, but I'm going to agree it goes Maclin, Wayne, Wallace, Floyd. You got the Carson Palmer issues. You got Arizona going to the East Coast. I think they struggle a good bit this week, and I have the exact same order. Yeah, Mike Wallace could have a big day. They're going to move the ball against Buffalo.
Yeah, and and I actually did some metrics on my napkin, but I actually some food got spilled on it, and I had some more formula.
How does this compare to your drunken scrawlings from last night?
Well, you'll both be happy to know that I had pretty much the same order, and in parentheses I have Palmer's shoulder. So me inebriated and you sober, we still come out with the same information. I'm glad to hear that.
Boy, I tell you, that says a lot for us.
Yeah, I don't know.
We're as good as Dwight drunk.
Have a good one, fellas.
Hey, you
right,
too.
Thanks,
appreciate
Dwight.
It.
Good luck this week. All right. So that I don't know if that speaks well of Dwight or poorly of us, but we come up together when Dwight's hammered and we're sober as a
right.
judge. Although I'm hanging pretty good this morning, Rick. I won't lie.
Yeah, Big Tex, he's out there. He's scouring all the known gurus out there, Fabiano and Rappaport. Fabiano reporting Williams is probably out. Stewart and Tolbert carrying the load today. Ian Rappaport reporting he is expecting Carson Palmer to play versus the Giants, but it is speculation.
Right,
so.
And I'm still avoiding that Arizona situation, even if he does play. That's a long week of no practice for a guy his age, so... All right, Rick, what do we got? We got 10 minutes till we bring Scott in. We'll keep peppering the questions in as they come in, 646-478-4679. But let's go ahead and let's pick these games, Rick. You know, we didn't – I guess you know what we forgot to do? We didn't break down the Ravens and Steelers. Anything you want to talk about there? It was a fantasy
dud. It was a just a total dismantling of a defense that is aging and not adapting.
And just bad.
I tell you what, there's a lot of, a lot of stuff. I think Collingsworth, I believe, made the comment about, the blitz packages from the Steelers. And, yeah, they're complicated, and, yeah, they are, they were wonderful over the years. But they're really not surprising anybody anymore.
No.
And that front three, if you don't have Casey Hampton and Aaron Smith in their prime, and they don't any longer,
right.
They're long gone. They've never supplemented them.
There's no need to double team any of those guys.
They don't have to.
Right.
Casey Hampton used to eat up a center and a guard.
Right.
And then, Aaron Smith was taking a tackle on a guard or a tackle on a tight end.
Wide open for those linebackers.
It doesn't
do anything anymore. Right.
And they're getting no pressure on the quarterback. Their secondary is old and they're not that good. The case in point, I almost put my foot through the TV, and I can't remember the exact score, but of course they're getting beat, and it just so happened on yet another Raven drive, Ike Taylor actually broke up a pass in the end zone, surprise, surprise, and then stood there with his arms folded, staring up in the crowd like he did something. You're down 17 points.
And he'd been beat the last six passes that went his way. So,
exactly.
Yeah, fantasy takeaway, not a lot, and there never is a lot of fantasy takeaway from a Raven-Steelers game. Interested, I thought, how many carries Bernard Scott got. That's going to be something we're going to have to continue to monitor as the weeks go in. Maybe we'll spend some more time on that on Wednesday. Forsett got his and got in the end zone, but that seemed to be a pretty even split if it didn't lean Bernard Scott, which was against everything that Harbaugh said all week. While the numbers weren't big, my big takeaway from this game, though, Rick, he didn't put up the number. Antonio Brown, still Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
They used Marcus Wheaton in a myriad of ways, and he's making the tough catch, and they're using him to run that misdirection and run those options. Marcus Wheaton's a guy I think you're going to see creep into a low-end number two receiver before this year's over. We both expect when they're not just laying eggs like they did last week offensively, which happens against the Ravens, no matter how good or bad the Ravens' defense is. It's just one of those matchups.
Right.
Marcus Wheaton against the right defense would have had big statistical numbers, and this guy is really putting it together. And if they're going to involve him in the running game in a Cordell Patterson type of role and a Percy Harvin type of role, we could be looking at Marcus Wheaton as probably maybe the biggest riser this year in fantasy football.
And I still think Pittsburgh is on the cusp of scoring a lot of points. They have too many weapons. Antonio Brown is creeping right up there to that, quote-unquote elite status as far as wide receiver goes. Le'Veon Bell, solid runner. That is going to play a lot into the Steelers.
And he's going to end the year top 10 in PPR for them.
Yeah,
they're involving him so
no
much.
No question.
In the
Wheaton
game.
Looks good. Heath Miller looks very good. They didn't get on track at all against Ravens. They had a fumble on the drive, on a couple of drives and so forth. But yeah, I think the Steelers' offense is going to be okay, but as far as the NFL part of it, the regular games, that defense is going to it's going to be the downfall, and there's no question about that.
And from a fantasy perspective, that may be a good thing for if you own Steelers, because they're going to have to score points.
Right.
They're not going to be dominating people. They're going to be throwing the ball a lot. So, Rick, before we bring Scott here in about 7 minutes, let's pick the rest of these games.
We have another question here.
All right, we'll do that first.
Okay, assuming Marshall was out in standard format, Crabtree or Hilton?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one there. I'm going to go Crabtree. I think San Francisco has a big game this week. That Chicago defense, we talk about the Steelers defense, that Chicago's defense is another one that with a huge fall from grace. I'm going to go Crabtree.
Yeah, I think I'm going to, too. I'm still very high on Anquan Boldin. This guy just continues to haul in the tough catches.
Right.
And is a real savior for Kaepernick. But Crabtree, he's an explosive guy. Hilton, Nix is still in the mix now, even though he's still fourth or fifth as far as seeing the number of passes thrown his way. He got in the end zone last week. So, Hilton, I think, doesn't give as much upside as Crabtree. So it's a little bit it's close, but I like Crabtree.
Yeah, I think he's second behind Reggie Wayne.
And here's another one here. Tony Romo or RG3?
Oh boy.
And to me, it's pretty easy. Until I see something from RG3,
right.
Give me Romo every week. And I gave you the stats earlier in the show about him coming back from multi-interception games. I think Tony Romo's a start this week, and it's Romo.
Yeah, I want to make an argument for RG3 based on his potential, but that's all it is based on his potential. So I'm going to agree. Tony Romo, even if he lays an egg, he probably throws for 300 yards and a couple of scores, especially in that matchup against Tennessee. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and roll Romo there.
All right. So there we have it. And you were going to hit on picking the game.
All right,
Scott,
yeah. Let's do that. We'll have Scott here and Scott Fish in about 5 minutes. Rick, Dolphins travel to Orchard Park.
Yeah, and, I like Brian Hartline as a start this week, like I said. And, you know, Miami was impressive last week against New England. Buffalo had a big win. You're calling Buffalo to take this one. You mentioned earlier. I think Miami goes into Buffalo and takes this one.
I think
it's going to be close. I'm going about 27-21.
Logically, you're right. I just think with all the good vibes coming out of last week and coming out of this team being bought and staying in Buffalo, I think it's going to be an electric atmosphere up there. I think the Bills running game feeds on that, and I think the Bills take it 23-20. Jacksonville goes to Washington.
This is an interesting game, and I think if it was in Jacksonville, I might go the Jags. I just don't think they're improving, but I think RG3, Pierre Garçon, DeSean Jackson, Alfred Morris, a little too many weapons for Jacksonville. I think somehow Washington pulls this out at home. I'm going 23-20.
I'm going to disagree again. I liked what I saw from Jacksonville in the first half. Washington's a team just reeling coming off of last year in a bad week one. I got the Jags 17-14. We talked a lot about this game, Rick, the Cowboys at the Titans.
Yeah, I'm going Dallas. I'm not convinced that Tennessee is as good as they looked last week, and I just like I hate the Dallas defense, don't get me wrong, but I just like Romo. He looked horrible last week, made some poor judgment calls, which he tends to do now and again, but I just think they have too many weapons, and I think they're going to establish the run, and I think he's going to get a lot of passing yards. I'm going Dallas 31, Tennessee 21.
Three in a row, Rick. I think the Titans are a team on the rise, or the Titans are a sleepy team this year. 24-19 over the Cowboys.
All right.
Arizona travels cross-country to New York.
They don't travel well going cross-country, but you know what? They've got a good defense, and I am going to go out on a limb and say Arizona somehow throws it together. Eli's going to stand there with that look on his face that you posted on our site last week. And I'm going Arizona 22, New York 18.
Wow, we might have to put a wager on this week, Rick, as I disagree once again. Although, oddly, I have the Giants 22, the Cardinals 18.
There we go.
So I'm not sure how we get to those scores. But you can write it down. The final is going to be 22-18. So 0-5 here, Rick, in terms of agreeing. The Pats head to Minnesota. I think this is going to be the first one where we agree.
I like New England. I think they're very angry coming off a very poor performance against Miami. Your nemesis, as you called it last week, and another away game. But I think Tom Brady goes into Minnesota and just kind of spanks him around a little bit. I'm going New England 35, Minnesota 20.
Yeah, I think the hoodie gives his protege, Matt Castle, fits this week, and I got New England 31-24. I think a closer game. New Orleans heads to the mistake on the lake, Rick, and takes on the Browns.
Yeah, Jordan Cameron's questionable, may not be playing today. You know, Brian Hoyer showed some signs against a terrible Steeler defense in the second half. I think New Orleans jumps all over them, even though they do have Joe Hayden. You know, they can't cover everybody. He can't cover everybody. So a lot of weapons coming out of the backfield. We talk about Ingram, and we talk about Thomas and Kerry Robinson and so forth. I think New Orleans all over Cleveland. I'm going 35-17.
I've got 34-17 Saints. So now we're back on track here, Rick. Two teams that really impressed me last week. This is a game. This is a matchup I want to watch this week. The Falcons head to Cincinnati to take on the Bengals.
Yeah, I love this matchup, and I think this is another fantasy paradise here. And I tell you what, Atlanta was so impressive last week. Cincinnati, you know, they won. They shut down, you know, and you saw what Baltimore did to Pittsburgh.
Right.
That, you know, they clamped down on Baltimore. I just think Atlanta's much more explosive, obviously, than Baltimore. I think it's a pretty high-scoring affair, kind of like last week against New Orleans. But I think Atlanta pulls out yet another close one, and I'm going 34-31 Atlanta.
I think this Bengals defense is a lot better than we're giving them credit for. You know, it's no Herculean task to shut down Baltimore like they did last week, but this is a good defense. I think at home they're very similar offensively. I'm going to take the Bengals 26-23 at home. The Lions head to Carolina, Rick.
Okay, before we get to that, we have a standard question. Rashad Jennings, Mark Ingram, or Crabtree?
Boy, I want to say Jennings, but until that offense, there is just no fear.
You know what, though? I am going Jennings. He got the red zone carries. He got in the end zone against Detroit last week. And, you know, if what you say bears fruit, you know, coming across country,
right.
Arizona struggling a little bit, I'm going Rashard Jennings.
Hey, he's the safer pick over, I forget the running, over Ingram. Crabtree, you know, I can see that game being over at the half. So, yeah, I'm going to agree. I'm going to go Jennings just based on potential at goal line work. So we got a call on the line, and I imagine we're going to be hearing from Scott here. So go to AsylumFantasySports.com. You can see Rick's picks for the rest of the game. If you're looking to place any wagers there, even though he's wrong half the time, you can try and trust Rick there. Area code 952, good morning.
What's going on, Rick? This is actually Scott. I have to call from my car today.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I didn't recognize the number there. That's good. It's good to have you on right here at 11. How's life in Minnesota right now?
It's a little sickening. I'm sure you talked about it at the top of the show, but yeah, Adrian was always considered so kind and nice and awesome and generous around here that it's kind of a little bit of a shock.
Real quick, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because we want to get these questions answered. Do you know anything up there that we don't know? I mean, at first blush, it doesn't seem to me, whatever your thoughts are on spanking children, I'm certainly not going to have that debate, you know, over the air. But to be indicted, there had to be a lot more to it. Is any indication, was it to the level at which, you know, we may not see Adrian Peterson for the rest of the season?
You know, I don't think I've heard any more than, you know, today's day and age, everybody gets just about everything. There are, you know, certain training camp things, like we knew Adrian Peterson would be good after his ACL surgery because we saw videos of him on the news running up and down the hill. But something like this, I think the national media has just about everything we have, if not more. I think they're pretty plugged in.
All right. Well, a lot to watch. And before we get into the questions,
yeah.
How do you think the...
Hey, just to answer the last question, I was listening in. I would also go Rashad Jennings. I think he's going to have a decent PPR day.
Okay. And, of course, that was non-PPR question, but, I just thought...
I missed that part.
Of course you did. But anyway...
wow.
I'm just kidding. No. I just saw him getting the red zone carries against Detroit, and I just think that he's really turning into the bell cow that... you know, New York needs. You know, Ingram, he scored those two last week, but he didn't get the amount of touches, you know, percentage-wise. He got, 20 touches, I believe, to Thomas's 34. Robinson got 12 and so forth. So, he's getting less than Thomas, and I don't like that part, and that kind of scares me.
Yeah, I agree. It is a situation to keep watching, though, because Ingram did look good in the playoffs last year and the preseason
yes.
and last week with his touches. So, but anyway, yeah.
And I have him in a few leagues. It's just, I don't know, against a guy like Jennings, I believe he's just a safer pick volume-wise.
Yeah,
okay.
I would tend to agree.
All right, Rick, let's jump into the questions here. We got about a half hour left. We want to get as many in as we can.
Okay, and we have one in the chat room. It's a PPR flex question. Doug Martin, Pierre Thomas, Marquise Colston.
I think it's got to be Marquise Colston. I think they move the ball a lot. Doug Martin, I'm still taking a wait-and-see approach with him. I own him in zero leagues, Rick, in as many leagues as we're in. I own him in zero. I saw nothing last week that made me feel any better about him. You know, we've talked a lot about this Saints running back situation. You know, Marquise Colston did what Colston did, and if you can get those 6-7 grabs out of him, you know, hope he finds the end zone, he could be in for a big week.
All right, I'm going to jump on Pierre Thomas. I think, you know, Colston, we've mentioned this before, and you've always been a proponent of this. You know, Marquise Colston may have a big day this week, and then the next 2 weeks you never hear from him.
He could have two grabs for 18 yards.
That's what kind of scares me. Pierre Thomas is still going to be the PPR running back, I think, coming out of that backfield. And I think in PPR, I think he's a safer play because, like you said, I agree with you. I think New Orleans is going to move the football, and I just like Pierre Thomas. Scott?
I agree with the mustache. I think that Pierre Thomas is going to get the touches. Colston scares the crap out of me. He can be hit or miss, and Doug Martin has looked nothing if not average for about a year now. So.
I agree. And, you know, I think it is between the New Orleans guys, but I'm going Thomas, Scott's going Thomas, and Mr. Fligger is going Colston. So let's move on to some of the ones that I compiled earlier.
The
and we've had, this, question. I bet you this particular question I know we've had three times.
Oh,
but
do we have it again?
But these guys, Calvin Benjamin, Kendall Wright, have appeared everywhere.
Oh, so many times.
But in PPR, who do you want, Calvin Benjamin, Kendall Wright?
It's still Kendall Wright for me. The matchup is just too tasty. I like Jake Locker this week. They're going to be able to move the ball. And I want to see what Calvin Benjamin's rapport is with Cam Newton. He obviously looked real good with Derek Anderson. Want to see what that rapport is. I think most weeks the answer for me as we go forward may be Calvin Benjamin, but this week it's Kendall Wright.
Yeah, I'm going Kendall Wright, and before we get to Scott, we have news in the chat room, thanks to our roving reporter, Big Tex, here. Ian Rappaport reporting that Carson Palmer tested the shoulder, cannot go. Drew Stanton is starting.
All right, so bench all your Cardinals. That's my advice right there.
Okay, Scott, the Calvin Benjamin, Kendall Wright PPR question.
Yeah, I'm completely with you guys. I think Kendall Wright is not only – I think Kelvin Benjamin's upside is what Kendall Wright is probably going to do. So I think this Kendall Wright's much safer. I really, really think that's a much tougher question because Cam just targeted the heck out of Kelvin in the preseason. But we don't know if there's going to be some rust or some timing issues, and he is still a rookie. So Kendall Wright in that sweet Dallas matchup.
Okay. It's unanimous. I tell you what, I'm still high on Calvin Benjamin, and I'm curious to get Cam in there for a couple weeks, 100%, and it would be nice if D'Angelo was healthy. I'd like to get a healthy Carolina offense because I'd like to see what this guy can do, and I think he's going to be a very good one. Okay, we have a PPR question. Pick three, Andre Johnson, Gronk, Golden Tate, Manuel Sanders, Randall Cobb, Zach Ertz.
We'll let you start that one, Scott.
All right, this one's pretty decently easy for me, actually. I'm going to start Gronk because the Vikings have always had trouble stopping tight ends, and I don't think our linebacking core is fast enough to keep up with Gronk. I would start Andre Johnson. I'm almost always going to start Andre Johnson. You have to have, I feel like he's usually top 24. He's going to get a lot of targets. He had 10-plus last week, I believe, as well. And for the third one, I think Randall Cobb is the safest of those other ones. I expect Ertz to have a pretty great day, but I think Aaron Rodgers is just licking his chops right now, just getting ready for this matchup and wants to redeem himself in the Packers after last week. So he doesn't want his first game come back from injury was horrible. He wants a better one. I'd go with those three.
Hey, I'm going to have to agree. You give me Andre, Gronk, and Cobb. Really, the only other one that goes into this argument is Emmanuel Sanders. But, you know, I just think that Denver offense has a lot of options. He wasn't huge last week. But I think Aaron Rodgers is licking his chops. Randall Cobb, certainly. And I want Gronk and Andre in there.
I don't know if this is just my – I don't want to call them personal feelings, but the bad vibes I get from Randall Cobb. I agree, Johnson. Right, what Scott said. Just week in, week out, he's steady. He's Andre Johnson. Gronk, you have to have in there any given week. He's the first option in that Patriots offense. But I like Emmanuel Sanders over Cobb a little bit. I think there's a whole lot of Jordy Nelson going on there in Green Bay. Cobb could go off and have a big game. I really like Sanders, especially with Welker still inactive. So I'll go there, but I think Sanders, Cobb, it's almost a slash situation, one or the other. So I think we're pretty close to agreeing on that. Scott, while Rick, and now he's answering questions via text, too. We are a full-service show. Going back to the news with Carson Palmer being out, what's that mean to I think we know what it means to the wide receiver core. What's it mean to Andre Ellington for you?
I don't think it changes his value too much, maybe even ups it a little. He's always been perfect for a dink and dunk back. I can see them trying to lean on that a little more. I can also see them leaning on just the running game in general more. If Ellington doesn't get more touches, I think the committee there could. But I would up Ellington just a slight amount, but I don't think it's too greatly, just because I don't think the offense is going to move as well, so he's going to have less opportunities than a normal Carson Palmer-led offense.
All right, so good deal. So good there. Obviously, real, real careful with the wide receiver core.
No, we have a call on the line, so chat room, we'll get to you after the call.
All right, area code 813. Good morning.
Ricky, this
guy. Oh,
is it Weird Harold?
Nice.
I'm just trying to listen.
There's our old buddy Weird Harold. So what is going on in the great state of Florida?
Hey, it's nice and warm. It's 90 degrees while you guys are freezing up there when it's nice and comfortable at 50.
Hey, I'm in a short-sleeve shirt. I think it's wonderful up here at 58 degrees.
I haven't worn pants in 20 years. That's too hot down here.
Image we don't really need to visualize here.
Yeah, so, I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
How'd you do last week?
I did, I did 3-2. Not too bad. I guess I did ask the wrong question last week, which would have been RG3 versus Ben Roethlisberger. And
that would have been an easy one.
Yeah, that would have been. Ben against Baltimore, I always bench him, always.
Yeah.
But what's going on?
I got two flex questions for you. I think they may be easy, but who knows? They're both PPRs, and they're flex. I've got Carlos Hyde, Bell, or CJ.
Was that Johnson second one Dwight Bell?
Yeah. I like him, but I don't like the defense he's going up against.
I tell you what, I think it's hands down Joint Bell because, number one, you know, Bush is a little bit tender. You might see a bigger workload for Joint Bell, and he's just – he gets a lot of work as it is in that Detroit offense. I think it's not even close.
Yeah, I agree. I like Joint Bell, especially in a PPR format. Yeah, Hyde's interesting. I think they're going to have a big offensive day, and as they get ahead, actually Frank Gore's a guy I have as a start, but I think Joyke Bell pretty easily. How about you, Scott?
I'm kind of in the same boat. I just hate that matchup. I think Joyke Bell's probably the safest, but I think Carlos Hyde is probably your shoot for the moon. I want to grab some points, but I realize I might get a big old three in this spot, but I think Carlos Hyde offers you the best upside this week. So depends on how risky you want to play it. Bell probably the safest, even though I hate the matchup.
Yeah, I guess it puts me right back where I was. but I appreciate that.
Listen to your old buddy there, Weird.
All right, well, we'll find out what happens. The other one is a flex that has to do with Carlos Hyde, but I have C. Johnson again, but I also got Hawkins. Who has been a target monster, even though it's only 1 week, but it's a PPR, so I was hoping to.
I think in this case, this is where I'll shoot for the moon with Hyde going up against those two. Hawkins, a lot of targets, but how much are they going to do with it? Didn't love what I saw out of them at all last week. I got Chris Johnson as a sit this week. I think this is where I plug in Hyde, and I feel pretty comfortable about it. As you huff over there.
Go ahead, Scott.
I think this one's actually really close between Hyde and Hawkins. I would, if it were my team, I'd probably plug in Hawkins. I think he's a little safer, and he offers about the same upside. I can see Hyde being really, really close. I'm going to pick Hawkins on this one.
I'm going to have to agree with Scott Weird. You know, 8 catches last week, 87 yards. You know, Miles Austin, he is not a wide receiver one, and I think Hawkins, you know, until Josh Gordon's back, is going to be the number one guy. And, you know, Cameron's banged up, and he's, you know, not even sure that he's going to be playing today. So, you know, plus they're playing New Orleans. I think if nothing else, you're going to get some soft points with Hawkins. I like him.
Yes, I think, seriously, he's caught 80% of his targets, so it's hard to – hard to look that pass when you think they're going to be throwing the ball all day.
Yeah, there's no question about that. But I still think, you know, if you're down 30-3, they're going to be throwing the ball. And I don't know. I just really like Hawkins against New Orleans.
Perfect. I'll be winning again this week.
All right.
You better be.
Hey, great to hear from you. What was that nickname of yours again, Rick? I forget.
Old Snuffy.
Snuffy, that's
old
right.
Old Snuffy. Yep.
All right, Weird. Well, it was great to hear from you again this week. Good luck.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
Hey, see you, Weird.
All right, Rick, you had something in the chat room.
Yeah, we have pick 2 out of these 2, Ellington, Gerhardt, or Joik Bell.
Ellington, Bell for me. No, I'm not even going to break it down.
I'm going Bell, Gerhardt.
Has there been any word on Gerhardt's injuries this morning?
I haven't seen
sounds
any
like
Gerhardt news. Where's Big Tex at on that one?
Okay.
Rick?
Yeah.
All right. Then,
Then
I am going to really piss off the chat room guy. Then I think it's pretty handily Gerhardt and Ellington for me.
Oh, wow. So we're all over the place now.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead and break that down. We've been breaking down Joik Bell and them the whole show. I want to hear your breakdown of taking Ellington and Gerhardt.
Of why I like Ellington and Gerhardt?
Yes.
Well, I just think the volume is going to be there for Gerhardt today. I think in PPR, he's a much better PPR back than people realize, and I think he's – you know, with a full game, if he's able to go the full game and his injuries are fine this week, I think 25 touches is out of the realm of possibility for him today. And I'll tell you, I'll start any back that's going to get that kind of volume. And as far as Ellington, old Snuffy and I were just talking about how with Carson out, I do feel like, I don't feel like it ups Ellington much, but I think it ups him a little. And in a PPR league, I would just rather have him in a game I think could have some points than Joik Bell against that defense.
Okay. Well, you know, we'll have to that was all over the place. I mean, not even – we didn't even have one combination the same.
No. But I think we got two – and we got 2 votes for everybody, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
So,
I think
– and Gerhardt right now, the last thing I've seen, he's probable for week 2 at Washington. And so I'm going to assume, you know, the big guy's going to be in there. Okay, well, let's – we will move on to some other questions. We can't get much to the mailbag, but –
that's all right.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, what's the matter here?
Nothing. You just
okay.
Go ahead.
Our tech man's pulling wires all over the place.
Go ahead and ask the questions there, Rick.
PPR.
Is that still Frank?
Well, yeah, it's Frank, all right.
For now, only because we're scared to fire him. He had one of them tough union thugs,
yeah.
And I don't want to mess with him. But one of these days, we're going to change the locks on him.
Okay, we're going to pick 2 in PPR, and it's Givens, Decker, Hilton, Cruz, Avery.
Oh, boy. Hilton, Cruz, Avery. That is a stack of mediocrity there if I've ever seen it. I think Hilton sticks up above the rest for me right there, and then it comes down to Decker and Cruz for me. I don't like at all the Jets matchup this week. I think, as Scott talked about, we talked about it earlier in the show, you're dealing with a ticked-off Packers team. Victor Cruz is still Victor Cruz. I obviously don't trust Eli Manning to get him the ball. Probably going to be seeing a little bit of Peterson this week or a whole lot of Peterson. But I just don't – I don't have the guts to go Decker. Givens and Avery are nothing to me. I'm going to go Hilton and Cruz, but I don't love it.
Go ahead, Scott.
Okay, I'm going to go Hilton first. I think that's the obvious number one. I don't think I need – I think there's going to be points in that game, and I just think that's true. Number one of that batch of players. I am going to have the ball to go with Decker on this one. I don't like any of the other receivers too much today at all. I think that's all it comes down to. I know Cruz has name value, but until Eli actually starts targeting him and that offense actually looks like an NFL caliber offense, I'm going to go Decker. I want to see Cruz actually have a decent game before I put him in the lineup.
Okay, I'm going to have to agree with my colleague. T.Y. Hilton's number one, and I got to go Victor Cruz just because, you know, he's Victor Cruz and the success he's had. Maybe it is a little name recognition. I don't know. I mean, I'm really starting to not believe in New York, but I can't believe they can be this inept forever. And, you know, the upside on Cruz is there, I think. But I think Decker's close. I agree with you, Scott. You know, Givens had a nice week, but, I'm going to have to see more out of this. It's just a squirrely situation in St. Louis. And Avery, I can't even consider him right now. So I'm going to have to go Hilton and Cruz, but it's very close with Eric Decker. Okay, do we have time for more, Rick? Oh, yeah.
We've got 10 minutes left.
Okay, here's an interesting one, and they popped up more than once, but Zach Stacy, Rashard Jennings.
All right, it's Rashard Jennings. Zach Stacy, you know, not only do you have the questions on offense with Sam Bradford, not questions, they're a terrible offense without Sam Bradford at the helm, but now he's losing carries to Benny Cunningham a little bit last week. Zach Stacy is on my bench in perpetuity, and there'll something major changes here.
Go ahead, Scott.
I'm with Fleeger on this one. I think it's got to be Jennings. I will add to Rick Fleeger and say Zach Stacy is on my bench until I see the Rams score at least one touchdown this season.
Yeah, I have to agree. There's no question. I was, and Rick will attest to this, I was high on Zach Stacy in the preseason going in, and then Sam Bradford went down, and the wheels just come off on the Zach Stacy bandwagon, and they look horrifying. And I want to see something before I'm going to put him in there, and I know what I can get with Jennings. I mean, they losing effort pretty bad last week. He still had a fairly decent fantasy outing, so I'm going with Rashard Jennings. Okay, here's a very interesting one. We have a flex question, PPR. Fred Jackson, Sean Green.
Ooh, that's tough. I think it's Fred Jackson for me. I think all the reasons I talked about why I think Buffalo has a chance to win that game in that electric atmosphere. Fred Jackson, you know, while C.J. Spiller, my God, I just blanked on his name, had a very C.J. Spiller, like, what was it, 3.5 yards a carry. Fred Jackson averaged 8 yards a carry last year. They find the right situation to get him the ball. He looks like he's 24 still to this day. Fred Jackson, I'd be happy to plug him in there.
You know, it was a big question going into the preseason. You know, is it going to be Sean Green? Is it going to be, Bishop Sankey? And all indications are it was going to be Bishop Sankey. Lo and behold, Sean Green goes out, gets the lion's share, gets 72 yards. But I tell you what, Fred Jackson is Fred Jackson, and he just seems to just keep rolling along. He makes the good runs. He makes the good catches when they need it. And I'm going to have to agree with Rick. It's close for me, but I'm going Fred Jackson.
Well, this is going to be a sweep. I kind of love Fred Jackson this week. I don't have him in any leagues just because, I don't know, I just wasn't able to manage getting him, but I really like him this week. Sean Green does have a great matchup, but give me Fred Jackson. I agree with everything you guys said.
And my problem with Sean Green, Rick, is you talked about Bishop Sankey. It looked all through the preseason heading into week one, he was going to be the guy. And then all of a sudden it was Sean Green. There's nothing to tell me it won't be Bishop Sankey today. You know what I mean? I don't think I can trust Sean Green. Give me 2 or 3 weeks of Green getting the bulk of this work. I think every possibility exists that Bishop Sankey starts and he gets 75%, 60 to 70% of the carries this week. I just don't know yet.
And coming out of preseason, Tennessee said Sean Green was the number one running back. And as, you know, cynical as we are, we didn't buy this business. Nobody was buying it. Oh, come on, you know, not really. It's Sean Green. He did it last week, and he looked pretty good doing it. So, and it's close, but I want to see a little bit more. Here, we've got another one in the chat room here. We need one in standard scoring. Asiata, Ellington, Joique Bell, Brandon Cooks.
Oh, wow. Asiata, Ellington, Bell, and Cooks. Did you say is this PPR or not?
No, it's standard scoring.
All right, so I think that takes Joique Bell out. Asiata, I'm taking a wait and see with that whole situation. It comes down to Cooks and Ellington for me. I'm going to go Ellington here. That may seem a little – Cooks seems like the obvious choice. I think for all the reasons Scott talked about with Carson Palmer being out, Ellington's going to touch the ball a lot. Cooks, for all the reasons we talked about why good Lord, my mind keeps going blank. Marcus Colston makes us nervous. Cooks makes me nervous for the same reason. I think Ellington's the safest play there.
Go ahead, Scott.
Well, this one is, gosh, this is really close for me. I'm in agreement, by the way. It's got to be Cooks or Ellington for me. I'm going to slightly lean Ellington just because it's standard, and I feel like he's going to touch the ball a lot more. I think Cooks is a great play today. Man, I wonder who they're starting that this is their last options, because these are two really good options for today. Slightly Ellington.
Yeah, I think I will have to make it unanimous because it is standard. PPR, I think I would go Bell, then Cooks, then Ellington, but in a standard scoring, I'm going Ellington. Because he's going to be basically one of their few options, I think. And, you know, you have Drew Stanton in there. Watch him go throw for 350. And you know,
that happens sometimes.
But, you know, I'm going to have to closely – I'm like you. It's a close one, but I'm going Ellington.
Hey, I don't know where Big Tex was on this one, Rick, but just across CBS from your boy Dave Richard, looks like Jordan Cameron not expected to play today. That's big news right there for the Browns.
Oh, yeah, and Tex already had it in the chat room.
Oh, did he?
I just didn't report it.
So I couldn't scoop Tex. Tex is on it. Good. He's the man.
Okay, we have a PPR question. We have Emmanuel Sanders, Harry Douglas, Marquise Colston.
Sanders, I think, and I'll just leave it at that.
Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, I'm going to break out a big pack of those Fleeger bullets and pick Emmanuel Sanders with a bunch of them.
Nice. Riddle them with bullets. not that we'd want to do that to Emmanuel Sanders.
I think I have to agree with you there. There's just some upside. You know, and like I was talking about in my watch segment, I really think Harry Douglas is going to be a nice play in a pinch when you need a flex or a WR3, something like that. But you still got Julio Jones. You got Roddy White. I can't really throw him in there up with the likes of Sanders or Colston right now. Colston, for what we said before, you don't know what kind of consistency you're going to get with him until you see it a little bit. So, yeah, Manny Sanders.
Every possibility of 9 catches for 100 yards, though. That's the problem with not recommending Colston, but I think we know what we're going to get out of Sanders, and I'll go ahead and plug those points in and be happy.
Yeah. I had one in the mailbag, and we'll just hit on it.
Last one, Rick.
And then I'll just brush over because it was Dalton at home or Cutler at San Francisco without
easy,
Marshall
yeah.
and then,
right.
you know, Cutler. We're going Andy Dalton. PPR. Toby Gerhart, Alfred Morris.
Oh, boy. So neither one big names in PPR, so I think you can throw the PPR out. So it comes down to Gerhart versus Morris. I still believe in Alfred Morris. I don't know why. I can't back off of him. And apparently I hate Toby Gerhart because I've recommended against him every time his name has come up. I think you can run on Jacksonville a little bit. I'm going to go with Alfred Morris, just thinking he can find 100 yards and find his way into the end zone this week.
Yeah, as much as I think I've taken Gerhardt twice twice today already, but this one I gotta go Alfred Morris. Maybe he isn't the best PPR back in the world, but he's still a top 10 fantasy back last year, and he looked pretty okay last week. I'll still take him in a PPR league over Gerhardt.
This was closer to me than what I would think is, you know, especially being PPR and that Morris is not good in PPR. And, you know, LeSean McCoy didn't really have a huge day against Jacksonville last week, but the PPR really came into effect. And that's why it's real close for me, because I don't think Morris is not going to be that big of a deal with him, because he's just never good in PPR, where I think Gerhardt is going to be as the year wears on. I think it's very close. However, I'll make it unanimous and go Alfred Morris at this juncture.
All right. Well, Rick, we have hit the end of the show already. Scott, thanks so much for coming on again. Why don't you take a second and tell everybody where they can find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at ScottFish24. I'm also at DynastyLeagueFootball.com. You can find my weekly pick'em there. Go check that out. You can win stuff in free to play. Sorry about the hopefully the noise wasn't too bad on the cell phone, guys. I'll try to get to my mic tomorrow.
Go ahead.
Yeah, sounded good, Scott. We appreciate it. Yeah. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, you guys have a good one.
Hey, right, you too, Scott. Thanks buddy. And we have our big thanks to our roving reporter Big Tex in there, who just reported the Jags have declared Cecil Shorts inactive for the game against the Redskins because of that hamstring again. And, you know, that's what we talked about in the preseason. When that happened,
It lingers. Buy into that Hearns kid again.
And then we have, you're going to have to buy into him if you have Cecil Shorts in your lineup, I guess, because it's about the only option. A. Sanders, I think, still out. Justin Blackman, still stupid. And, there's just not much there on Jacksonville.
You know, somebody had a sneaky day last week in a PPR format, didn't find the end zone. If I'm looking for a deep, if I'm in, you know, we're in this 32-team league, or even if I'm in a 16-team league, Marquise Lee had 6 grabs for 62 yards, has a much better pedigree than Hearns. That might be a sneaky play in a deeper league. Marquise Lee seemed to put it together a little bit last week. He's a guy I got my eye on.
That's true. All right, well, we thank everybody that called in, everybody in the chat room, Scott Fish as always, and we hope you win every game in every league in week 2.
That's right. We'll be back Wednesday, 7 o'clock Eastern, Blog Talk Radio, AsylumFantasySports.com. Check out 1 o'clock on Saturdays, FantasySportsNetwork.com. We do, or Channel 147 if you're in the greater New York area on Cablevision.
And if you're in Canada, we are on MTS Cable in Manitoba and on SaskTel in Saskatchewan.
That's right. We do a start-sit show each day, each Saturday there, 1 o'clock Eastern, replayed 9 o'clock Eastern and 4 a.m. on Sundays. Check that out. We'll be back then. Keep those questions coming in. We'll answer them right up till game time at Asylum Football.
Yeah, and just to let you know, we are going video on the Fantasy Sports Network very soon. We are finally getting studio for the video. So
you can see why we chose radio as the medium we went into real soon.
Exactly.
So that's it. Good luck this week. Get those questions in at Asylum Football. Until Wednesday, we'll see you.
Take care.
Your boy, if you need a ride, if you roll with me, yeah, you know we rollin' high. Up on them 37 needles, windows tinted, hard to see though. How fresh my baby is in a shotgun seat though. Them kisses off of me though, automatic like a free throw. This life I live, it might not be for you, but it's for me though. Let's go. This is how we roll. Oh, we hangin' round.
our guns. We love who we love and we wanna have fun. Yeah, we cuss on them Mondays and pray on them Sundays. Pass it around and we dream about one day.